Juno Ghostlight Theater is coming to your home. We've traded in our lights and stage for a radio microphone. Grab your popcorn and your favorite chair. Get cozy in your living room. We'll be right there. JGLT is on the air.
Hello and welcome to Juno Ghostlight Theater on the Air and the Alaska Theater Festival Radio Plays. This festival is co-produced by Theater Alaska and KTOO Public Media in association with Juno Ghostlight Theater. If you'd like to see a program for tonight's performances, you can go to the Theater Alaska website at theateralaska.org. Before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge that tonight's performance is being created and broadcast on the homelands of the Akwan. We are grateful to be able to perform and tell stories here on Zantakihini on Lingit Ani. Gunashchish. Tonight, JGLT on the Air is proud to present The Case of the Sultry Songstress, a detective so-and-so mystery by Hetty Laverne. We have an all-star group of talented artists here in the studio, so without further ado, sit back and relax, dim your lights, and let us transport you to New York City, 1946.
There's nothing quite like 5 o'clock at night in New York City. Most folks are getting off work, eager for a night on the town, but I'm just rolling into the office. Crime isn't a morning person, so neither am I. Only thing is, it had been weeks since my last case. The name is So-and-so. My parents were funny like that. I'm a private investigator, the best in the area, some say. Yes, my mom lives in the area. Why? Like I said, it had been slow. Not a knock on the door, or even a phone call. My secretary was thinking about heading home, possibly for good, when a perfectly proportioned silhouette darkened the office doorway and sent a chill up my spine.
Is this the office of Detective So-and-so?
Yes, it is.
Is that him?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Wait, I'll tell him you're here.
Can't he see I'm here? He's sitting right there.
Miss, I'm the detective's secretary. If I don't tell him you're here, he could realize his office is embarrassingly small. Or worse, he could realize my job isn't essential. And if he realizes my job isn't essential, he could fire me. If he fires me, I don't know what I'll do. I haven't any skills beyond answering very basic questions and telling people when other people are in the room. My typing is lousy, and I struggle with opening filing cabinets. I prefer to keep my nails long and have arthritis in both thumbs from my crochet hobby. If I get fired, I won't be able to pay the rent in my apartment. If I can't pay the rent in my apartment, my landlord will kick me out so he can rent to a younger woman. I'll wander the streets alone, unable to afford even a cup of coffee. I'll be so tired, I'll fall asleep standing up.
Could you?
If I fall asleep standing up, the neighborhood children will make a game out of pushing me over like I'm a cow. If I'm pushed over like a cow, I'll break my hip in the fall, but I won't be able to afford to stay in the hospital. My poor hip will have to heal on its own without proper care, so one of my legs will look shorter than the other. I'll have to wear only one high heel, but I can't afford a quality pair, so I'll have to buy beige instead of red, even though I look best in red, and all because you insisted on skipping past my desk and seeing the detective without being announced.
My apologies. Please, announce me.
Detective So-and-so?
Yes, Florence?
There's a lady here to see you.
What's her name?
I didn't ask.
Thank you, Florence. That'll be all.
Go ahead, lady.
Thank you.
She was a beautiful woman. Perfectly curled hair with one of those hats that kind of hid just one eye, but not in a weird way. You know how some dames do that because they have a case of pink eye that they're trying to hide? This wasn't that at all. This was just to be coy.
Detective So-and-so, I presume?
The one and only. And you are?
Miss Holloway, Bubbles Holloway.
Please, take a seat.
That's okay. I have two at home.
Very well. Won't you sit down?
Yes, thank you.
What can I help you with, Miss Holloway?
You see, Detective, I'm afraid.
Of what?
Someone has been threatening to kidnap me.
A kidnapping? These were often tricky cases for lesser detectives. Luckily, I had a foolproof method of solving them quickly. Do you know who it is?
No.
This was gonna be tougher than I thought. What makes you think you're being threatened?
I keep receiving odd notes in my dressing room.
Odd notes, you say? Do you have any with you?
Yes, of course.
She reached into her chest region and pulled out a piece of folded paper. She handed it to me and let her finger graze my wrist a little before she let go. This isn't a kidnapper's note, it's a shopping list.
Oh, sorry. Wrong cup.
She reached back into her dress, but on the other side, an interesting filing system.
Here, this is the one.
Ah, yes. The ink is smudged, and that tells me the person who wrote this note was using his left hand. Do you know any left-handed kidnappers?
Not off the top of my head.
Bubbles aren't red because they are blue. Your voice is perfect. I'm gonna kidnap you. The proclivity for rhyme makes him not very subtle. Is it just this one?
No. There have been about 6 or 7 notes so far. It's been happening for weeks, Detective.
Have you told anyone?
I went to the police after the first note.
Is Officer Sargent on the case?
Yes, that's the one.
Poor dame. Officer Sargent was one of the most inept cops on the force. An impressive feat.
I've tried to be patient, Detective, but I'm getting worried. If they don't find this person soon, I'm worried he'll make good on his threats.
Do you have any enemies, Miss Holloway?
I'm a headlining singer with more talent than the majority of the Big Apple. Everyone loves me. My former mob boss manager, my slightly jealous kid sister, her not-so-bright boyfriend, the fading star whose place I took a few weeks ago as the club headliner, which reduced her to an opening act after years of fame and status. I couldn't imagine who could be an enemy of mine.
No, you sound squeaky clean. I think you came to the right place, miss. I'll take your case.
Oh, bless you, Detective. I can't begin to thank you.
Just do me a favor. Keep yourself safe until I figure this out.
I'll do my best.
Florence?
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna need you to hold my calls. I've got a case. I knew taking this one on would be tricky. There wasn't much to go on other than some bad poetry and a scared dame, but if I
don't mean to interrupt your narrations, Detective, but I wasn't sure if you meant hold your calls as in all calls or as in just calls pertaining to things not related to this case. Because what if Miss Holloway calls you? You want I should pass along her message?
Of course.
Okay, because that was not clear in your initial instructions. And one thing I keep reminding you is I need clear instructions so as not to make massive mistakes.
You're right, Florence. I misspoke. Please only give me messages affecting this case. Yes, my bullheadedness had gotten me in trouble before, but I saw a scared dame and little to go on, and I needed to act.
Detective, did you mean you want me to pass along messages for this case as in only for this case, or as in this case plus anything not case-related that is still important?
Well,
like if your mother calls and your father fell down a flight of stairs, you want I should tell you? Or if your ex-girlfriend calls to tell you that she changed her mind and is no longer bothered by you wearing your hat at the dinner table and it was a silly thing to break up over?
Florence.
You want I should tell you? Or if you win one of those contests where you guess the number of jelly beans in a giant jar, and you somehow guess the exact number, even though you were being funny with the number you put because you thought it was absurdly high, and yet it turned out to be correct, so you win hundreds of dollars, but you have to pick it up by noon the next day, or you forfeit the prize to the person who guessed the lowest for some reason, even though it makes more sense for the person who guessed closest to yours to get the prize instead.
You know,
but the man who designed the contest decided to put in a ridiculous rule like that to throw off the IRS, even though something like that wouldn't throw off the IRS, but the man who designed the contest doesn't really understand taxes and is just winging it. You want I should tell you?
Florence, forget it. Don't hold my calls.
Whatever you say, sir, I'm easy.
I I interviewed Bubbles for a bit and learned that she was the new headliner at the 600 Club. I'd heard of it, had ties with some scum, but the drinks were supposed to be good. Word on the street, they had recently done a remodel, and Bubbles, as the new headliner, was making it quite the hot spot. I figured if the author of those notes was getting into Bubbles' dressing room, he had to be at the club, too. Common sense, you see. If a room is in a building, you gotta be in the building to be in the room. First, I had to get inside.
Password.
Claudette Colbert.
Hey, that's right. Now, what's your mother's maiden name?
I'm sorry?
You wanna get in, you gotta give the password and answer the secret question. What's your mother's maiden name?
McMath.
Wrong.
What?
Wrong. You get two more guesses before you're locked out for the night. Want to guess again or try for another secret question?
Well, that is my mother's maiden name, so I guess I'll try for another secret question.
Who was your favorite teacher?
This is ridiculous. How would you know that?
You want in or what?
Mrs. Foyle.
Correct.
Now I can go in?
Not so fast. Identify all the boats in this picture.
I beg your pardon?
If you want to get in the 600 Club, you got to prove you're not a robot first.
You flipped your butch.
Hey, man, if you're not a robot, shouldn't be a problem.
I had no choice. I had to play along. This bouncer was wasting time, but the longer I was outside, the more likely I'd miss the suspect in action. I had to get inside before Bubbles got off the stage. All right, I see four boats. One here, 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 and here. And this is half a boat off the side of the picture. Do you want me to count the half a boat as one?
A man would know the answer to that. Now, a robot wouldn't.
Fine, I'll count it. Five boats.
Correct. You may go in.
Thanks for nothing.
Hey, wait a minute.
What is it?
No outside sex.
No?
You heard me. Hey!
Sorry, Charlie. You gotta stay outside. Wait for me back at the office.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk. I love but you. Abba-dabba-dabba in monkey talk means chimp. I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
There she was in all her glory. The sultry songstress herself, Bubbles Holloway. The whole room lit up in her presence. Or maybe they just didn't dim the house lights. Either way, it was bright. The club was packed with patrons, mostly men marveling at Miss Holloway's beauty. I scanned the joint for any suspicious audience members, but they all seemed straight. No, it seemed to me that the aspiring kidnapper must be closer to Bubbles than she realized. I needed to get to know the staff and fast. Hello, chum.
What do you have?
Give me a bourbon on the rocks.
I ain't got no rocks, just ice.
Ice will be fine.
I ain't seen you in here before. You new to the city?
Nah, just new to this bar stool.
You like it? I picked it out myself. We just did a remodel, you see? All snakeskin stools. That beautiful or what?
Slick.
The boss let me choose all the bar stools. I picked snakeskin because it's classy. Here's your drink.
Thank you. This is quite the joint. A big remodel, I take it?
I should have seen the place before. I ain't never seen such a lack of interior design. This place could compete with the 16th chapel now.
There's 16 of those now.
Likely more. I can't keep track.
He wasn't a bright one. I figured I could easily squeeze a little info out of him. Tell me,
Swigs. Soapy Swigs.
Mr. Swigs, how long have you been working at the 600 Club?
About 4 years. I started tending bar after I got out of the Navy.
A Navy man?
Yeah. Vietnam was quite the war.
Soapy, it's 1946.
Yeah. World War II was quite the war. Only thing that got me through was my boxing career.
Oh, you boxed in the Navy.
I was the champion in over 300 matches. I only lost twice. Once when I forgot to go, and once when the other guy was wearing iron padded gloves.
Ooh.
I was in a coma for 6 months after that bout.
Is that what brought you back home?
No, a boat did that.
And you've been working here ever since?
Yeah. It's a decent job. I get to drink all the booze I want, and I get to listen to Bubbles Holloway for free. And better yet, I get to date her younger sister.
You dog. You've been holding out on me. Where's this sister?
She's working the coat check. You probably passed her.
Coat check? She doesn't sing too?
Oh, she tries. She tries, but the manager won't never hire her. She's pretty to look at, but she sings like a foghorn.
Now, that's not a very nice thing to say about your girl.
I don't mean nothing by it. It's just that she's tone deaf.
Does she know this?
I don't got the heart to tell her.
Interesting.
How's that boy been treating you?
Oh, it's hitting the spot. Thanks. Tell me, Soapy, what was your secret to being such a successful boxer?
It ain't no secret. Just genetics. Born lucky.
Born lucky. Interesting. He was lucky, all right. A front row seat to Bubbles Holloway every night and the pleasure of her sister's company after. If she was half as pretty as Bubbles, he was lucky like no other. I excused myself for the restroom, but not before stopping over at the coat check.
I love but you. Abadabadab in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon.
May I check my coat, miss?
Yes, sir. And your hat?
No, I'll hang on to the hat. Say, you look familiar. Haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Ever been to Central Park?
Of course.
Well, it can't be there. I'm scared of Central Park.
You know what it is? You look like the lady on the stage.
Oh, thank you. That's quite the compliment. That's my sister.
Bubbles Holloway is your sister? Wow. Beauty sure runs in the family.
Oh, you flatter me. I know I'm nothing compared to Bubbles. What with my mousy brown hair and sloped shoulders, my purse is always sliding off.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm that, too.
You're quite the beauty. I bet you have all the fellas in here asking for you your dinner date every night.
That's sweet, but no. Most of the patrons know I'm Soapy's gal.
Soapy Swigs? Lucky gal.
Ain't I? He's a boxing champion, you know.
Don't say. I knew all of this, of course, but the best way to loosen someone's lips is to make them think they're the first to tell you their secrets.
If it wasn't for his head injuries, I think he could have made a real name for himself as a professional boxer here in the city. But it's best for him to keep his head safe. I like his head like a good cup of tea. Only two lumps.
Cute kids. I don't believe I caught your name, miss.
Oh, dear. How rude of me. My name is Miss Holloway. Puggy Holloway. And you are?
So. Detective so-and-so.
A detective? Wow!
I'm just here to enjoy the show tonight, though. Sure is a shame this isn't a sister act. I think you'd be a real natural up there.
Tell that to the boss.
Oh, he won't let you sing?
I've auditioned for him 83 times, and he said no 82 times.
What did he say the 83rd?
He threw his shoe at me.
Ooh, tough audience. Well, I'd be happy to put in a good word for you, Miss Puggy. Is he here tonight?
Oh, yes. Never misses a show. That's him over by the back exit in the yellow suit.
Thank you. You take care, Miss Puggy.
Mm-hmm.
The young dame gave me exactly what I was looking for. I just had to seal the deal by talking to the boss man.
Abba-dabba-dabba means monk, I love but you. Abba-dabba-dab in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon
They went upon their Abba Dabba honeymoon.
I sidled up to the guy as he started flipping a silver dollar for no reason other than to show off that he had a silver dollar. But I wasn't jealous. I wasn't. Hey, pal. You got the time?
It's time to shut up. Bubbles is on.
Big baboon, one night in June, he married them, and very soon they went upon their Abba Dabba honeymoon.
He didn't look up, but I recognized his voice. This was none other than the famed mafia boss, Clem DeMinth. I thought he was still in the slammer, but he must have got out early for good behavior. He was always able to play the room. He'd be a tough nut to crack. This your joint?
Who wants to know?
So, Detective So-and-so. This got his attention. He almost dropped his coin. I'd love to see a big man rattled.
Why, Detective, it's a pleasure. I heard you solved Ratface Rogers' murder a couple years ago.
I did. No one but me thought to question his mother.
Name's DeMinth. Clem DeMinth. Sit down.
He snapped his fingers, and the patrons at the nearest table scattered.
You here on business, Detective?
Nothing gets past you, does it?
I had a gut feeling is all.
Your girl Bubbles is singing scared, and it ain't stage fright. You know anything about it?
Not a thing. And I resent you asking.
No harm meant. No harm meant. You see anyone suspicious around your club lately?
You knew around here, the whole clientele is crooked.
I thought your audience looked straight.
An optical illusion. We got a slanted foundation.
I meant suspicious towards Bubbles. Any drooling fans, obsessed, bug-eyed, look like they never seen a woman before?
Whole clientele looks like they ain't never seen a woman before. Why you think they come here?
Figured for the friendly service and classy decor. Well, what about any of your employees? Any of them have a thing for Bubbles?
Ever met a man who didn't? But I'll tell you, that cop she's talked to certainly has eyes for her.
You mean Officer Sergeant?
That's his name? I don't rub elbows with the fuzz.
Now I'm not stupid. Guys like Clem DeMinth love to shift the blame to the cops. But, like I said, I'm not stupid. And cops aren't all peaches and cream. There are a few moldy peaches on the force, and Officer Sergeant could very well be the moldy peach. God, I'm hungry.
What are you talking about peaches for?
Oh, sorry, I was doing my voiceover. I didn't mean to be so loud. I needed to talk to Officer Sergeant. I excused myself, and I sat back over at the bar.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk, I love you. Abba-dabba-dabba and monk, you talk in June, I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June.
As luck would have it, the old flatfoot sidled up and grabbed a seat right next to me.
So-and-so?
Sergeant.
What the hell are you doing here?
Nursing a bourbon. You?
Ordering a bourbon. So, the usual.
I need a hint.
Bourbon.
Oh, yeah. I promise I'll remember next time. Coming up.
He says that every time. I know you're not here for the drinks, so-and-so. You're trying to steal my case.
What case would that be?
Don't play dumb. It's too easy for you.
Hey, no need for insults. I'm not stealing anything. Just taking a look around. Is that a crime now? Maybe you should focus on the actual crime Bubbles came to you about. Or are you having trouble sounding out the words in the poems?
You seem to know a lot about them.
You think I wrote them? Oh, you're way off base, Sergeant.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
I forgot what we were arguing about.
I took a sip of my drink and I decided to do the guy a favor. It's like this. You know, and I know, that I've never been to this joint. I keep away from the scumbags that frequent it if I can help it. You know, and I know, that Bubbles Holloway is a new addition to the stage. You know, and I know, that I don't follow modern music much other than what Florence plays on the radio or Charlie plays as my theme music.
Oh, how is Charlie?
He's okay. His mother hasn't been too well, but she's on the upswing. And you know, and I know, that I'm not left-handed. So I couldn't be the one behind the kidnapping threats.
Left-handed?
Oh, haven't gotten that far, have ya? Figures.
Well, I got news for you, so-and-so. I know more about this case than you. I've been here off and on for weeks. I see the patterns. I know what patrons come nightly, and who's been here on the night Bubbles has received the last two threatening notes.
Look no further, folks. We've got an observant man in our midst. Congratulations, Sergeant. You can memorize some faces. But you know, and I know, that you're no closer to solving this case than my shave.
Your shave is gonna solve the case?
No. I'm saying that I have a close shave. It was a play on words. Never mind. Point is, Bubbles knows you aren't close, so she hired me. Now do us all a favor and go back to the donut shop.
Oh, I don't have to take this. I'm going.
To get a donut?
No. A sfogliatella. They're Italian and delicious, and it's not a stereotype.
Dabba, 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 means monk. I love but you.
You handled that beautifully.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't jump. All of a sudden, an older dame appeared on my left, and I hadn't seen her sit down. It was rare to surprise me, but this lady did it. She was attractive, busty, confident, definitely lit up a room in her youth. She offered me a cigarette before lighting one herself.
My name is Scope, Carlotta Scope. You the detective we've heard so much about?
That's me. Who's we?
Oh, people talk. It's a small club. You here to see to it that Bubbles doesn't get any more threats?
You know about the threats?
Again, small club.
It's not just that, is it? You close to Bubbles, Miss Scope?
Taught her everything she knows.
That right.
And I know you're going to blame me for this mess.
Oh, and why's that?
Because I'm the Carlotta Scope, the previous headliner. Bubbles took my spot right before the threatening letters started showing up. So I know what this looks like. I'm no fool. I've been in this business a long time. I know how much backstabbing goes on, but I am not the one behind these threats. I was burning the candle at both ends anyhow. Bubbles getting the lead was a blessing. Now I only open the set for her, and it's done wonders for my sleep schedule. I have time to paint again. If anything happened to her, I'd rather Clem put Puggy on before me. So don't waste your time coming after me with your long-winded accusations. I didn't write any of those notes.
But you sure do know a lot about it.
Again, detective, it's a small club. People talk. It's no secret Bubbles is scared, and she looks to me for guidance. I was the first person she sewed those notes to.
You've seen them. Any chance you recognize the handwriting?
It's not anyone I know. Whoever it is has access to the dressing rooms and is familiar with the show enough to know when there's no one in the hallway to spot him.
You ever think to stand back there and watch for him?
Honey, I never stand backstage. I'm strictly an on-stage gal.
My apologies.
I'm sorry I can't be of any more help to you, Detective, but I've told you all I know.
I appreciate the facts, Miss Scope. I downed the rest of my drink and I paid my tab. There wasn't much else I could do out here. I needed to get backstage. But as luck would have it, the show was coming to a close.
Abba dabba 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 means monk. I love but you. Abba dabba dabba monkey talk means chimp. I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
Oh, Detective So-and-so, I'm so glad you're here.
Miss Holloway, that was an incredibly long song.
I wanted to give you time to interrogate, so I stretched it. Did you find out who's been threatening me?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, dear.
But I'm sure I'm close. I just need another night.
I don't have another night. During intermission, I received this.
She handed me another note from her filing system. This one was written in bold ink, clearly an angry hand. Violets are blue, roses are red. You squealed to the P.I., so now you'll be dead.
It's just dreadful.
P.I., what could that mean?
Private investigator.
Oh, me. I didn't mean to get you into more trouble, Miss Holloway. I'll keep you safe, mark my words. But before I could escort her out, the room started to spin. Suddenly, there were three bubbles, all floating around like bubbles. All the people I'd talked to that night were surrounding us. That bouncer, Soapy Swigs, Puggy Holloway, Clem DeMenth, Officer Sergeant, and Carlotta Scope spun around me like I was Dorothy in that twister. It was then I realized someone had slipped me a Mickey. I awoke to the sound of my saxophone player, Charlie. I had been moved. My head was cold. My hat was hanging on the hook on the closed door to wherever I was. The couch I was sprawled on had mildew and smelled in a milky wet spot. And I sat up and rubbed my head. I felt drunk and hungover all at the same time. Drunk over? Hungover? Whatever it was. It was making me crave a burger and a nap. But I needed to find Bubbles. What happened?
You fainted.
Florence!
Hello.
What are you doing here? Where are we?
You took a spill and they called me. I brought Charlie. I'm your emergency contact. I sewed my number into your hat when you were sleeping a few years ago. Since you never take it off, it doesn't surprise me you've never noticed. But this might be a good time to talk about shampooing your hair.
Florence, there's no time for hygiene tips. Where are we?
We're in the basement of the club. They said your passed out body was freaking out the customers. So they moved you down here where no one would see you.
How long have I been out?
You left the office around 5:30, and it's 2 a.m. now, so if we subtract...
No, Florence, not out of the office. Out as in unconscious.
Oh, why didn't you specify? I was called at 11:30. I was in my pajamas already and was just about to start my skincare routine, so it's a good thing they called when they did, because if I had already put on my night mask, then I wouldn't have been able to leave my apartment to come sit with you.
Okay,
because that mask is an odd greenish color, and even though it keeps my skin smooth, it would be pretty scary to see me on the subway with a green face. I imagine anyone who saw me would think I was a ghoul or some other grotesque creature from a horror movie. Maybe Frankenstein.
Florence.
I read that his makeup is green. But I suppose they'd know I wasn't Frankenstein because he's so tall and I'm rather short. Perhaps they'd think I was Frankenstein's daughter. Because of the skin cream working so well, there's no way they'd mistake me for Frankenstein's wife. Maybe his sister, but one of those sisters that comes along way later in life because the brother's almost 18 and his parents are feeling sad that he's about to leave home. So they start all over with a new baby.
Sure.
The older brother in these scenarios is usually really protective of the baby sister, and I think even Frankenstein would be protective of me if I was his baby sister, don't you think?
Florence, you say I've been unconscious since 11:30?
Oh, yes, 11:30.
That means Bubbles has been left without my protection for nearly 3 hours.
Oh, that's a long time.
I know. With no time to lose, I grabbed my hat and motioned for Charlie and Florence to follow. We climbed the creaking basement stairs and propped open the backstage hallway. It was empty, not a soul around. We peeked into the dressing rooms, and other than a napping clarinet player, there was no one. Where was Bubbles? We found the front of the club, and it was eerily empty. Florence, what time does this place close?
The doorman said last call was 2:30.
It's only 2:15. Where is everyone?
They must have closed early.
Something isn't right. I checked behind the counter. No sign of Soapy. I checked the coat check. Puggy wasn't there, but the coats still were. I'm embarrassed to say it took me till after that to realize the bar was in shambles. I was still a little Mickey-slapped. Florence, there's been a struggle.
Oh, it isn't always like this.
Tables overturned and chairs broken and glass all over the floor. No, Florence, it's not always like this.
It was when I arrived.
It was?
Yeah, I got here and they said you were downstairs sleeping off the liquor. The nice gentleman escorted me back and we walked through the bar and all the broken glass and overturned tables were exactly like they are now. I thought it was a design choice. He mentioned they just remodeled.
Who led you downstairs, Florence?
I didn't catch his name, but he had an unusually lumpy head. I didn't say anything, though, because I don't like it when people point out my flaws. I know I do it to you sometimes, but I consider you like family, and what good is family if they don't help each other improve?
Soapy. It had to have been Soapy. He was in on it. I knew it. Florence, did you see anyone when you were escorted downstairs?
Just that sweet Bubbles Holloway tied up in the dressing room.
Florence! Didn't you think that was pertinent information?
I did, but you were asleep so long I forgot about it until just now.
I rushed back to the dressing room to see if she was hidden away by some grace of God. Other than the sleeping clarinetist, the room was empty. My senses were slowly returning, though, so this time I noticed the note.
Oh, a card!
No, Florence, it's a note from the kidnapper.
It's folded, so it's a card.
Bubbles is gone, and you'll be gone, too. Maybe you'll think twice about being a nosy looky-loo. Not his best.
Yeah, the syllable count didn't line up.
Well, this proves that she's been kidnapped. Or worse.
What's worse than kidnapped? Oh.
The only way to find her is to find out who wrote this note. Florence, gather the suspects.
When you say gather the suspects, do you expect me to know who they already are? Or are you planning to give me a list you've already curated? Because I don't want to come across as someone who isn't a team player or go-getter, but I think in this case you're expecting too much of me since I just got involved 3 hours ago when they called me, and much of that time was spent on the train because it was surprisingly crowded for this time of night and I couldn't get a seat. And 45 minutes of that, you were passed out. Now, I could put together a list of people I think look suspicious, but isn't that just stereotyping? I've been working on myself since New Year's, and a big goal is to stop stereotyping. It's been hard, but I've gone all of January without doing it, so I'd like to continue my streak if possible. But if you want, I should break my streak on February 1st. In the name of this case, I suppose I could... Oh, he left.
By 8 p.m. the next night, I had all the suspects in one place. They all looked nervous, if I'm being truthful. Maybe it was the appropriately timed thunderstorm. But I think it was their guilty consciences. Thank you all for joining me tonight. And thank you, Puggy, for letting us use your home.
It's my sister's home. I just live here.
Then thank you, Bubbles, wherever you are. And that brings me to my first question. Where is Bubbles Holloway? No one?
I resent even being asked to come here. You think I kidnapped my moneymaker? You seen the crowd she brings in so-and-so? Use your head. How stupid you think I am.
Thank you for volunteering, Clem. I was hoping we could start with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our kidnapper.
And what exactly is my motive?
We all know Clem Dement's history with the law.
I don't.
Not talking to you, Florence.
Oh, okay.
We all know his history with the law and his history with breaking it. Mr. Dement here has been in and out of the slammer his whole adult life. Hasn't had a squeaky clean week since he was in diapers. Probably remodeled the 600 Club with stolen funds and favors from ex-cons. But that wasn't enough. With the club tanking, he knew the quickest way to make a buck was with ransom money.
Hey, I'm on the straight and narrow. The 600 Club is my path to the good side.
Don't make me laugh. You swindled your way to the role of owner and you drove the place into the ground. Isn't that right?
I did not.
You didn't?
No. I inherited the money to buy the place from my granny. May you rest in peace, Granny M.
So you're saying your grandma, M. Dement, gave you the money to buy the 600 Club?
That's right.
And you're doing well financially?
Best I've ever done.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking all along. So, you see, he has no motive. Clem didn't do it.
I'll scratch him off the list.
Okay. Which brings me to Officer Sergeant.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, that's right. Officer Sergeant needed a win. He was one of the most inept cops in the city.
Oh, hey, I resemble that.
So, he planned the whole thing. Scare Bubbles with some poorly written poetic notes. We all know his love of Italian things. What's more Italian than poetry?
Long lunches?
No, Florence.
The name Matteo?
Anyway, he got her scared, hoping she'd come to him with the case. And, as luck would have it, she did. But he didn't count on her losing her patience with his slow police work, so she asked for my help, too. Once I was on the case, Sergeant got scared and knew he had to get rid of Bubbles to keep me off his track. He roofied me so I wouldn't see where he took Bubbles. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely not. Yes, it's no secret I love all things Italian, but I'm no poet. And I certainly didn't slip you a Mickey. I'm a gentleman.
Who are you trying to fool? You have access to all the Mickeys on the street. You were sitting right next to my drink.
Oh, you left your drink unattended, so-and-so. That's on you. Anyone in the bar could have done it.
That's true. It was sitting there a long time.
He's always doing that.
Okay, we're not here to lecture me on my habits.
I've been telling you for years, though.
Thank you, Florence. Can you prove, Sergeant, that you didn't Mickey me?
Oh, of course not. But I can prove that I wasn't at the 600 Club on three of the occasions Bubbles got a threat.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. 20 other cops can tell you that I work other cases. And I split my time between the 600 Club and Venero's Bakery.
Oh, that's a good bakery.
Yeah, they got a great selection. Well, so ask anyone there or any of my cop buddies. I wasn't there every night she got a note, so there's no way it's me. Well, heck, I never even been to the 600 Club till after she got the first note.
Yes. I'll be checking those references. So why don't you go sit next to Clem on the innocent couch?
Oh, don't mind if I do.
I'll scratch him off the list.
So, like I said before, Officer Sergeant didn't do it. But that, of course, means that it was Soapy Swigs.
I ain't done nothing.
You walked right by Bubbles while she was tied up.
I did.
You escorted my secretary past her after the bar was in shambles. Only a moron would miss a tied-up headliner in her own dressing room.
I didn't see her, I swear. I got tunnel vision.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. My peripherals are all messed up from my boxing career.
And the destroyed bar?
That was a bar fight, but it ain't had nothing to do with Bubbles.
That's right. A patron got a little too drunk and started swinging. Soapy here had to subdue him. Place got pretty fouled up.
He had no idea he was messing with a boxing champ. I gave him my best 1-2 when he was down before the bell.
Explain to me exactly why it is you're so lucky in the boxing ring.
I already told you. I'm just born lucky.
Lucky lefty?
What?
I missed it at first, but you only pour drinks with your left hand. Which led me to realize that you, sir, are left-handed. And everyone knows that a southpaw boxer has an advantage over his opponent.
What's me being a lefty got to do with Bubbles?
The first thing I noticed upon looking at those letters was the smudged ink.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that, too. I noticed that first.
And everyone knows that lefties can't write with ink without smearing it all over the place.
I am left-handed, detective, but I ain't the kidnapper.
But you had a motive. Not only were you desperate for money, but you also wanted to get rid of Bubbles so your girlfriend could finally get the spotlight, didn't you?
I ain't desperate for money. I got a nice apartment.
But what about the snakeskin bar stools? You picked them out. You said so with pride. But I looked into the price of snakeskin bar stools, Soapy, and they're 6 times the price of regular bar stools.
Yeah, but I know a guy. I got a snake guy. It was cheap.
So you didn't make a bad stool call and need the ransom money to pay back Clem for the dumb design choice?
No, I got a good deal on my dumb design choice.
But you did want your girlfriend to get Bubbles' spot on the stage. stage.
I already told you, Detective. I know she ain't sing as good as Bubbles. I think she does real well where she's at.
Soapy.
I'm sorry, baby, but you should hear yourself.
That's right. You should hear yourself. Puggy Holloway, the jealous sister of the star. I knew it was you all along.
Sorry, Detective.
Yes, Florence?
You want I should cross Soapy off the list?
Yes, Florence.
So should I go sit on the innocent couch, too?
Yes, that's fine. Please, join the others.
Hey, guys!
Soapy.
Prosciutto?
Oh, you got snacks?
Now, where was I?
You were about to accuse me.
Yes. Puggy.
Sorry. I choked on my gasp.
You need some water.
I'm all right now, thank you.
Because we got all kinds of snacks and drinks over here.
Oh, yes, just a tickle. I'm fine.
Okay, so I said Puggy and you all gasped. Ready?
Ready.
Puggy. The jealous sister of the star. You couldn't stand to see Bubbles up there night after night. It ate at you. Every coat you checked was a reminder of every note you can't sing.
It's not true.
Don't give me that. You're green with envy. Wishing a handsome stranger would whisper in the boss's ear to get you on that stage?
Are you the handsome stranger?
Yes, Florence.
Silly.
You auditioned 83 times. It was Clem throwing the shoe at you that sealed the deal. You couldn't wait to get Bubbles out of the picture. He'd have no choice but to put you on the stage and make you a star.
That's ridiculous.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
I love my sister, and she's my best friend, and I would do anything and everything to protect her. Seeing her on the stage living out her dream has been the next best thing to me living out mine. If I can't be a star, then she should be. I've been scared sick since these notes started turning up. I would never hurt Bubbles.
And that's why you didn't do it.
I scratched her off.
Please, go sit with the others. I have a vague idea of who the kidnapper is now.
Is it Carlotta? Because she's the only one left.
Yes, Carlotta Scope, the aging songstress.
Ouch.
You knew your motive was the most obvious, so you thought you'd play it smart and admit to it upon meeting me. That way, I'd trust you.
I knew my motive was obvious because I am clearly being framed.
Clearly? Miss Scope, there is nothing clear about any of this.
So it's not just me who's lost then?
Nope.
No.
Well, I've been on the case for weeks and I'm more lost than any of yous.
Not for long. Let me spell it out for you. Carlotta Scope was furious to lose her place at the top.
No.
She was in a blind rage and wrote the first threatening note.
No.
She smeared the ink to frame Soapy.
No!
No, Soapy. I wouldn't do that.
She admitted it to me when we first met.
I did no such thing.
You said, and I quote, "It isn't anyone. It's someone." I don't remember exactly how you said it, but I'll paraphrase. It's a person I don't know.
How is that admitting anything?
Because you are not Carlotta Scope.
This is insanity.
What are you driving at, so-and-so?
Yeah, who is she really?
Carlotta Scope is her stage name. Her real name is Agnes Guthrie.
Ooh, that's an awful name.
Exactly.
That's why she changed it when she came to New York City. She killed any remnant of Agnes Guthrie within herself and became Carlotta Scope. Isn't that right?
Yes, but how does that make me a kidnapper? Thousands of performers change their name. It's called a stage name. Detective, and adopting one does not make me a criminal.
But your jealousy.
I have no jealousy. Bubbles is a fabulous performer, and as I told you, I am tired. I've had my turn in the spotlight.
I love seeing that bright little flower up there. It's her turn. And to think that she's alone somewhere right now, scared and unsafe. Why, I can't even bear it.
That's right. You loved her. You taught her everything she knows.
Yes, I did.
Which is why you didn't do it.
Detective, we've run out of suspects.
No, we haven't. Miss Scope, please go join the others on the innocent couch.
You're lucky it's such a long couch.
It's a sectional. I helped Bubbles pick it out recently. I convinced her to get the magenta. She wanted beige.
Good choice. I, too, am not a fan of beige.
So, you must all be wondering, who could possibly have kidnapped Bubbles if all of you are innocent?
Duh!
Well, I'll tell you. But first, let's welcome our mystery guest. Won't you come in, Miss Holloway?
Bubbles!
Well, well, well. Took you long enough. How'd you know I was listening?
It was all too obvious, Miss Holloway. Each of these people had a motive, but none as strong as your own. You gave yourself away in our first meeting. When listing your possible enemies, you gave too much detail regarding Carlotta, and you glossed over everyone else except for Puggy. Now, you had real love in your voice when you called her your kid sister, which got me thinking. It had to be murder to harbor so much talent when your sister had none.
Hey.
Facts, Puggy, facts. So, Bubbles, you cooked up a little scheme to guarantee Clem had to put your sister on the stage. No, she couldn't get there herself, not with that voice. But maybe you could if you could knock her the competition and forced Clem to be desperate for a headliner.
You're good.
You wrote those notes. I noticed the smeared ink on your left hand before I passed out.
But Bubbles, you aren't left-handed.
I wrote it with my right hand and smeared it with my left to disguise it. But I didn't realize Soapy was left-handed. I wasn't trying to frame him.
No, you had another target in mind. You went with the obvious motive, Carlotta Scope. Of course I'd think it was her. She has desperate old starlet energy for days.
Really?
You wanted Carlotta out of the picture so Clem would have no choice, after you were kidnapped, to put Puggy on the stage. You planned to hide out here for a few nights and give Puggy the spotlight so Clem would hire her as the opening act after you miraculously turned back up. Isn't that right?
Yes, it's true. I went to the police station first because I figured it was so obvious they'd arrest Carlotta the very next day. But Officer Sergeant just couldn't seem to figure it out. So I got desperate and came to you. I figured with your reputation, you could solve it within the week. So I let you sniff around, had a fan slip you the Mickey, and executed my plan. But I misjudged you, Detective. You've got me. I'm sorry, Puggy.
All right. Officer Sergeant, do with her what you wish.
Wait! Please, please, Clem. Just hear Puggy sing once more. This can't all have been for nothing. I know she's got it in her. She's a star, Clem. She's a star.
Don't beg, Bubbles, baby. Fine. Peggy, Puggy, show me what you've got.
Oh, I won't let you down, Bubbles. That certain feeling. The first time I met you, I hit the ceiling.
Oh, but you ain't hit the right notes.
Carlotta, it looks like you'll be headlining again.
No.
Better start doing some vocal warm-ups and drink more coffee. Puggy, you should get comfortable in the coat check. Clem, stay on the straight and narrow. It's a good look for you. Soapy, protect your head at all costs. You're a good kid.
Detective, I'm going to write down Bubbles' name on the list, and then I'm going to circle it.
Thank you, Florence. Well, folks, another case cracked by Detective So-and-so. Wherever there's a mystery, I'll be there. Until next time, watch your drinks, call your grandma, and get yourself a snake guy. Play me off, Charlie.
Tonight's production has been brought to you by Juno Ghostlight Theater as part of the Alaska Theater Festival radio plays with Theater Alaska and KTOO. The Case of the Sultry Songstress is directed by Kate Ross and stage managed by Stacey Katas. Wendy Burns provided our live Foley art for the evening. And the music was composed and performed by Spencer Edgers. And now introducing your cast, starring Hedy Laverne as Florence, Becca Gagin as Carlotta Scope, Valerie Kissel as Officer Sergeant, Joshua Midget as Bouncer and Clem DeMent, Kelsey Bryce Riker as Soapy Swigs, Salisa Thole as Puggy Holloway, Allison Wade as the sultry songstress herself, Bubbles Holloway, and of course, Travis Clark Morris as Detective So-and-So. We'd like to thank everyone involved for their hard work and lending your talent to this project. The Alaska Theater Festival Radio Plays continues tomorrow with original plays at 5 and 7 p.m. For a full lineup and more info, visit ktoo.org. Finally, we'd like to thank our festival sponsors, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council and the City and Borough of Juno, Alaska State Council on the Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts, with additional funding from the Rasmussen Foundation, the Juno Community Foundation, and Frenchie's Floral Studio, with a selection of seasonal blooms, unique gifts, and houseplants, located in the historic Flats District in downtown Juno and online at frenchiesfloral.com. And most importantly, thank you, our audience, for tuning in and joining us this evening. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.